We won, yeah. They suck, yeah. We here, yeah.
What?
Oh, what are you talking about, man?
You feel me? We back in the building. Y'all thought we was gone.
What's that sound?
Y'all thought we was gone.
It's time for another Source to Say. I'm Juliette Littman.
I thought it was a cortisone shot. I'm sorry. Oh. I thought that was the sound of a cortisone shot going into my heart.
You know, I've never had so much occasion to use a syringe emoji, but this is the week.
It's really working out for you.
Yes, I'm happy it's in the arsenal.
If we had had a Slack back when Lance Armstrong was coming down off the mountain, out of the Alps.
Metaphorically and literally.
Yeah, I think you probably could have gotten some use out of it there.
What a time. We're going to talk all about Markelle Fultz. We'll get into it. We're also going to talk about Eric Bledsoe, who is still on the Suns.
Yeah.
Draymond Green being in midseason trash talk form. The misery in New York. And I just want to talk about LeBron.
Clay? What are you talking about?
I'll talk about Clay, too. I changed my background of my laptop today.
Awesome.
It's pretty big. Let's talk about Fultz. So, should we just recount the last 24 hours?
Sure.
How do you want to do this?
Let's recount
place.
The last 5 years.
Okay.
JK.
5 years ago.
No.
Sam Hinkie was in charge? No, he wasn't even yet.
I mean, we could go back basically to one night in Vegas.
This
past summer. We were both there.
Yes, we were.
We watched Markelle Fultz. He looked great. Suffered a ankle injury that, like, a lot of Sixers fans at the Thomas and Mack Center worried was going to be another season-ending injury for a Sixers rookie. He was fine. Just hurt his ankle. No more summer league for him. Comes into preseason with some talk about how he had been adjusting his shooting mechanics. A little independent study, an independent project that he took on.
How ambitious.
And
great student.
You know, Brett Brown was like, he's been working on his shot on his own. He seemed to be very, it was like, that was a very pointed thing for him to say. Was that, like, Markelle had gone off menu.
Own.
Yeah. And then pretty much as soon as anybody saw any tape on Markelle in a Sixers uniform, they saw that he shot free throws like someone who had only ever watched Andre Drummond shoot free throws.
Eeks.
Yeah. That was
Drummond.
Now Drummond's great. But so that's where we're at. And then
yesterday,
starts the season.
Yes.
Looks really bad. Looks uncomfortable.
Looks timid.
And there's all this talk about, does he have a shoulder problem? Because he had said, I have a shoulder problem. I'm compensating for my shoulder problem. That's why my shot looks a little weird right now. Hadn't taken a single three-point shot in three games and was iffy from the line.
So you're saying he should be on the Raptors? Just kidding.
He should be on the 2015 Raptors,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And then yesterday, two reports from Woj. Which I just want to note.
A tale of two Woj reports.
A tale of two Woj reports. If you go back and you look for the first Woj report, the Charles Darnay, if you will, you will not find it because that piece is now down. And the second one, if you find the link, just redirect to the second one. So it's
okay.
A really rapidly changing story. And the first
one. That's
one
way of putting it, yes.
Rapidly developing story?
Yeah, I think that there is, like, well, we can have a larger conversation about media ethics. It's not ethics, but I think we can have a larger conversation about, we've definitely broken the seal now where a conversation between a reporter and an anonymous source is a news driver.
Sure.
Right? Or even a reporter.
Hence the title of this podcast, Source
Exactly,
to Say.
Exactly. But, like, this was an anonymous. This is Markelle's agent.
I'm going to say, this was not anonymous at all. There were a couple quotes from his agent, Raymond Brothers. Let me read some from you. This is from the first report that came out yesterday from Woj. Markelle had a shoulder injury and fluid drained out of the back of his shoulder. He literally cannot raise up his arms to shoot the basketball. He decided to try and fight through the pain to help the team. He has a great attitude. We are committed to finding a solution to get Markelle back to 100%. That was the first report.
Right.
4 hours later or so, second report from Woj. This is now the only one you'll be able to find on ESPN.com. This story had the following quote. He had a cortisone shot on October 5th, which means fluid was put into his shoulder, not taken out. My intention earlier was to let people know that he's been experiencing discomfort. We'll continue to work with Sixers general manager Brian Colangelo and the medical staff.
So let's run through some scenarios about what could have happened here.
Okay.
First of all, just because there was the change in the story, there is a possibility that this was a fluid conversation, not to put too fine a point on it, no pun intended, that, was it, you know, his brothers and Woj are texting and maybe, like, they're just, like, communicating about Fultz and some stuff got crossed up there, right?
Sure.
The other thing is he can literally not raise his arms up to shoot. Immediately calls into question the Sixers front office and the Sixers medical staff. Because
absolutely.
If a guy can't raise his arms above his head to shoot.
Why is he playing?
Why is he playing basketball? Especially on a team that has no expectations. It's the beginning of the season. You're not in a playoff race. Nobody is expecting the Sixers to light the world on fire. Like, this is nuts. You shouldn't be playing this kid. He's too important.
He's also not even starting. It's not like you would like throw off every single thing you've been doing since training camp.
Right.
Like, he's not, you know, it's been like a revelation watching Simmons, and Embiid is really fun. We can't wait for him to get off the minutes restriction, but they weren't even like relying on Fultz.
And that's fine. Nobody relies on rookies. Like, that's the thing that's so nuts about this year, is that we're all like, well, is this guy a bust yet? And it's like, it's been three games. It's just, I know. It's fine.
Can you believe it's literally been 8 days? It feels like I feel like we were mourning Gordon Hayward's injury like a year ago. It feels so long.
I know. So then you have the second report that is about a cortisone shot. I think that your takeaway from the second quote is more, he's got some discomfort, he's got some pain, we're treating it with anti-inflammatory shots or painkiller shots, we're working through it.
It also, the dating it on October 5th makes it seem like a really ongoing issue that the Sixers were a part of or aware of. So the first report was like, why isn't the team involved in this at all? Like, where are the Sixers? The second one makes it seem much more collaborative and they've been involved. But overall, this just makes everyone look really bad.
So then this morning, you wake up, there's a statement from the Sixers. Markel is going to be out at least three games as they search for a meaning of life in his shoulder. And Brian Colangelo gives a press conference. He insists there's no structural damage to Markel Fultz's shoulder. He says that, look, you can read between the lines a lot on these. Like, he did a little bit of doublespeak where he's like, Markel's a confident kid, but then also admitted in some point in the conversation that like his confidence was shaken. The problem isn't his shoulder. The problem isn't the first three games. The problem isn't even his shot. The problem is the handling of this entire situation.
Absolutely. It's just a PR disaster because it makes everyone look bad. It makes everyone look unprepared. Like, there's no plan. And that's what's so, I think, flummoxing for the Sixers is that they are a planned team. It's like, we're bad because we planned on it.
The plan is the hook.
Yeah.
The plan is the process is the hook. Sure. I mean, like, yes, Joel, yes, Ben, but those guys have been in a lot of ways like coming attractions for themselves in the last couple of years. The whole hook of the team is the process.
Sure. I mean, even reading this quote from Colangelo, which you can find this on The Ringer, it's become very obvious he just hasn't been willing or committed to shooting outside of the paint. We're trying to work on that. It's generally not normal for a guy to average 24 points in a game in college and shoot over 40% from three and then change mechanics. He really didn't systematically go and change it. He may have tried to tweak some things. The fact of the matter is there's right now some irritation, blah, blah, blah. So like, this is even talking about how this wasn't planned.
Yes.
No one was like, Markel, change your shot.
So it depends on how dark we want to get here. It depends on how dark
how dark are you feeling as a Sixers fan?
Well, okay. So somebody tweeted at Paolo after he published his newser. Does anyone else find it weird that Fultz has favorited tweets that reported the shoulder draining, but not the cortisone shot?
That's weird.
Now, maybe Markel was like, I favorited this piece. And then since it's been changed,
sure.
You know, maybe he doesn't run his own Twitter account. I have no idea.
He did retweet the initial report as well.
Yes.
Like the first one that said he had it drained.
Yes.
So there's just a lot of conflicting information. Like, literally the first report and the second report directly conflict. So that is suspicious and just makes everyone involved look bad.
Yeah. They literally have to put this kid on ice. They all have to shut up. They have to hope something else happens in the NBA, which I guarantee it will in the next 48 hours.
For sure.
And then next Thursday or next Tuesday after that, Markel can pop up at some game and can be like, oh, look, that kid scored 9 points or 11 points and he played 19 minutes and they're bringing him along slowly. Because the fact of the matter is that we freak out over Markkanen or we watch this Dennis Smith dunk or De'Aaron has a great game. But like, these kids are going to have ups and downs.
Absolutely.
And there's just such an absurd amount of scrutiny right now in the NBA, I think, because it is really an antidote for what has been a pretty depressing NFL season. And it's the NBA's back. Every night the storylines change. Every night there's a new hero. Every night there's a new villain.
Last night we were celebrating the Magic and Aaron Gordon.
Yeah.
Even though they lost. They lost, right?
They won.
Oh, right.
The Magic beat the Nets. But it was like a super competitive, fun game with lots of good players.
It's so fascinating. This is also just like a continuation of the summer where like there's been no off period. Like, there has just been like spotlights on these kids and all the teams since June, since the draft. It's
and
just
I think
been
also
nonstop.
It's like, we can get into the second segment here, which is the amplification of like agents. You know, does player power equal agent power? Does the access that players have to addressing fans or NBA fans directly also equal agents going over the top and being like, I'm briefing independent of the 76ers.
Right.
Okay. So in that case, we can go right into the Suns.
Sure.
Who have had the only team that's had a worse week than Philly is the Phoenix.
Phoenix Suns. And I am certain Philly wants to have Fultz and wants to rehabilitate the situation.
Absolutely.
The Suns do not want Eric Bledsoe. They're like, no, Ryan McDonough said that he'll never play for them again. And yet he's still on the team and they have no leverage because everyone knows he wants to go. There's no reason to give the Suns a good deal and to help them out.
Right.
And
they've gone from having Bledsoe involved in trade talks for like Kyrie and Kevin Love and who knows what else to now being like, you hope you can get, what, like 50 cents on the dollar on him. The Knicks are telling them that they can't have Ntilikina. They can't have Frank in return for Eric.
Yeah.
So what are the Knicks trading then?
I have no idea.
Ron Baker? Like, what are we talking about? What's the market for Bledsoe? This is nuts. But let's go.
What is the market for Bledsoe?
So in this week, we've basically had the Suns getting absolutely worked, like throwing off the point differential of the NBA. Like every team that plays the Suns, you look at them and be like, why is Portland plus 26? It's like, oh yeah, they played the Suns a couple of nights ago.
Sure.
Same thing for the Clippers.
Lakers got a win.
Yeah. And the Suns, they suffered three blowout losses. Bledsoe tweets, I don't want to be here.
Which has 46,000 retweets.
The next day, they fire Earl Watson.
Yes.
Comes out.
Not the next day. Hours later.
Hours later, they fire Earl Watson.
Let's just note, they have the same agent.
Bledsoe and Watson.
Yes.
Rich Paul. Yes. And then a couple hours after that, Bledsoe doesn't show up for practice. What was that, the story?
They sent him home. After like 15 minutes.
And I think that there was, and where did the hair salon thing come out? Oh, that was his excuse
Ryan,
for why he said, I don't want to be here. Is he was talking about being at the hair salon.
Yes.
Ryan McDonough's words. Yeah.
Yes. Ryan McDonough is relaying all this information to
us. Now, I think that this is Ryan McDonough's last lap, I think, because he's definitely going out like a guy who has very few options left to save his job.
Sure.
Because alienating Rich Paul doesn't seem like a great idea.
No, he also represents LeBron.
Right. Not that they were necessarily in the LeBron sweepstakes, but it just seems like Rich Paul is like an increasingly powerful agent.
Absolutely.
You have to play ball with him. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now they've got Jay Triano coaching. And apparently, you know, they got a W the other night, right? First game with Triano. And apparently, just like very basic, like accountability things and being told, like apparently Marquise Chris didn't like something that was happening in a game or a practice. And Earl Watson's response to that was to like take him out to dinner and tell him he loved him.
Oh, God.
And just sounds like there's just like very basic, like just wasn't ready for primetime stuff with Watson. So it'll be interesting to watch the Suns going forward. But this is a really tight spot because they've gone through a couple of different rebuilds, a couple of different flirtations with big players like Kyrie, like Love, like Aldridge they went for. And now they're on rebuild number 2.5. Everybody they trade seems to do really well for themselves outside of Phoenix.
Absolutely.
Like
Dragic,
Isaiah Thomas and Dragic. And I don't know if this guy's going to be around to finish the rebuild.
I don't know if he will be either. I kind of feel bad for Eric Bledsoe, which I don't know.
Well, anybody who fights through injuries like the ones that he's had.
Yeah, he was exciting.
And he's a really exciting player. So you kind of want to be like, go to the Clippers, go to the Cavs.
He's only 27. I feel like he's been around for so much longer.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting. He is with Clutch and he went to Kentucky. And I feel like he doesn't get the kind of the bounce that a lot of players who have those two things on their resume get.
Yeah.
In a weird way, like I think being in Phoenix has just really buried him. I wouldn't want to be there either. He's really talented.
Yeah, but they were so fun when they had that 48-win team with the three-headed point guard.
Sure. And it's just been a disaster ever since.
Yeah.
Where should he go, though? Like, what is the right place for Eric Bledsoe?
Denver.
Yeah, Denver. Let's get him there.
Let's get the Mike Malone rehab touch on him.
Yeah, man.
Him throwing lobs. No, actually, I don't even know who he'd throw lobs to. Everybody there stays on the ground now. No, but he'd play with Millsap.
That would be a team with, like, really good fundamentals.
Jamal Murray.
Yeah. Because you've had Jokic, Millsap, Bledsoe.
They're fun high altitude player, I bet.
Yeah.
Get the ball going.
All really like competent players.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, Jokic is more than that. But it's pretty remarkable. I don't think we've seen this much like power politics so early in the season before.
I know DeAndre tweeted that he wanted Bledsoe to come home.
Yeah.
But I have to admit, after watching the Clippers, albeit only for three games, I wouldn't mess with the chemistry there.
Yeah, they look pretty good.
They look really good.
They look like they're having fun. Blake seems to really enjoy being in control. Gallo back.
They're super deep now.
Yeah, it's weird. Austin Rivers is playing pretty well. How long will it last, though?
I don't know. I don't think they play the strongest schedule yet.
Don't you think we begin every Clipper season with hope and optimism?
Not like this. Because usually it's just like, oh, this starting five looks great and they can get away with having nobody on the bench.
Is it because Kendall Jenner's been on the sidelines the whole time? Did you see her eating a candy apple?
No, but I saw that she bought an $8.5 million house.
Yes, she did that as well. That someone famous used to live in.
Oh.
Of course, it's you know, it's Hollywood.
It's Los Angeles.
It's Hollywood.
Did someone famous live in your apartment?
No, I don't think so. Unless you count me, of course. Tristan and Chloe having a boy, by the way.
Oh, congrats.
A future basketball player. He'll be tall. Chloe's quite tall, unlike her sisters. Kendall's tall too, or her Kardashian sisters. All right, let's keep it moving. The Suns are a real mess. I'm just sort of like over it too.
I mean, it's only been happening for like 4 days. Like, how much time have you spent thinking about the Suns?
More than I planned on.
Okay.
Like, just wake me up when Devin Booker's
going off.
Do
you feel like, I get the feeling like sometimes you get annoyed when teams that are not worthy of your attention demand it.
Well,
like Philly, I feel like sometimes you're like, wake me when the Sixers are good.
No, Philly's worth it. I mean, I'm really into Simmons.
You also have a lot of Philly friends now.
I have a lot of Philly friends. I'm really into Simmons. Embiid's obviously great, although I just feel like you have to pick a side, Simmons versus Embiid.
No, you don't.
I select Ben.
Why? Why are you making binary?
I don't know how that's going to go when Embiid's.
Why do we have to do this to our teams? Like, why was it Kevin or Russ? Why was it? Is it Joel or Ben?
I was never a Kevin or Russ person.
When you were both.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So I'm just saying it's not always a binary, but.
I wasn't anti-Kevin. I was just like, this doesn't have to come at the expense of Westbrook.
Of course not. Let's move on. Let's talk about Draymond Green and the Golden State Warriors who opened up the season 0-2.
Yeah.
It's
not too worried about that.
It's fine. You want to know why I'm not worried? Because today an advertisement for the Bay Area News Group surfaced online.
I got jumped up so far up the rundown.
Sorry.
From off the sheet to third.
Klay Thompson's a star, my friends.
I know it.
Oh, man. So he's in this commercial talking about his pregame rituals, and his includes reading the newspaper.
Take that, The Athletic.
It's incredible. It's just so...
I stole that joke, by the way, from somebody on our Slack.
Yeah.
I think I stole it from Verrier.
You stole it from Justin Verrier, our comrade. So Clay is sitting alone in the locker room in like one of the rolling chairs. I'm always surprised that the chairs...
What's it an advertisement for?
The Bay Area News Group.
Oh, okay.
Like subscribing
it's actually for newspapers. It wasn't a bit. Okay.
Like for the San Jose Mercury News.
That's great.
Yeah. And I'm always surprised the chairs in locker rooms are not like fancier. They're just like really
like nice. An Ames chair?
Yeah. They're just like really nice like office chairs.
I think it's probably because they get a lot of wear and tear. And those are big guys. They're usually like sweaty.
They need the ergonomics.
Coming out of the shower. Yeah. What are you going to have like a rabbit fur recliner.
Maybe. So Clay is sitting in the middle of the locker room. It's empty in a ergonomically sound task chair. And he's wearing Anta slides and Anta shirt and like some sweats. And he's just talking about his pregame ritual. And he was like, you know, some guys like peanut butter and jelly, but me, I just like to read the newspaper. And then there's like all these glamour shots, like his VO and him reading the newspaper, just sitting there.
Are you going to start doing that every afternoon?
I might. You know, like a nice afternoon break on the couch. Maybe I'll just incorporate the newspaper. Yeah. It was just amazing. I love Clay. I think he's going to have a really good season. He's shooting quite well.
So Draymond.
What?
Draymond.
Who?
Green.
Who's that? Just kidding. Draymond Green is taking names and doesn't care who you are.
Draymond's just like, he's ready for his move to TNT whenever TNT's ready for him. Like, he's just going to be the best when he moves to TNT.
I would prefer him to Shaq and Charles at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he might get himself in a little bit of trouble. But okay, so the two big things that Draymond did this week, one was Dennis Smith kind of went in for a layup, but like, I think thought about going for a dunk.
Yeah.
And Draymond was just like, you will never dunk on me.
Yeah.
Like ever. Don't ever dunk on me.
Certainly made him adjust his shot.
Yes. And Dennis Smith, shout out to him, was just like, I'm going to dunk on some guys. Yeah. Like I was going for a layup. We'll find out like next time I try.
Yeah. And he was like, and he fouled me.
Yeah.
Which he probably did.
Yeah.
It's fine. He's a superstar. He gets the calls.
And then in the second game, I think that was the one where Durant and Curry both got tossed.
Yes.
And Durant did the middle finger ring thing and Curry threw his mouth guard at a ref.
$50,000 fine for that is absurd.
It seems like we have moved into the Warriors are not going to take the regular season quite as seriously as before.
I'm
fine with that.
Me too.
Yeah. It makes it more interesting on a nightly basis. But Draymond kind of waited afterwards and he was like, those guys got to be smarter about getting kicked out of games, which is hilarious.
Hilarious.
He was being sarcastic. So nice week for him. Steve Kerr seems completely at ease with where they're at.
If you're Steve Kerr, like, what's the point of worrying? He was like, we're still in training camp, which is like a great
attitude.
These guys
are in shape.
And one thing I really like about Steve Kerr is he just like always takes responsibility. He's like, it's my fault for not making it more fun, for not playing with enough joy.
That's interesting.
What a great leader. I don't know. I just
I'm gonna start trying that. That's my fault for not making work more fun today, guys.
Yeah, it's a really good attitude. Also, because I just feel like
Isaac, I hope this podcast is fun for you, man. And if it's not, it's my bad.
I'm going to start saying it's your bad too if it's not more fun. I'm going to turn it around on you. Also, Nick Young seems pleased as punch up there.
Sure.
He's getting his touches. He said that he compared the Warriors locker room atmosphere to playing with Kobe.
Yeah.
And there's like no comparison. He said it's a lot more friendly, which is not surprising. It's like Nick Young found a home and he's back with his good friend JaVale McGee. It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
One thing I also like about the Warriors not taking the regular season seriously is then they're more fun to watch on the bench. Like, we haven't gotten a lot of shots of Steph just sort of like dead eye staring straight and like not talking to anyone.
Yeah.
He seems a lot more engaged.
They're much more into it.
It's funny. I feel like we're really watching a Steph transformation. I'm interested to see how the rest of the season
transformation
goes.
Transformation into what?
Being less bland publicly.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, we'll see. But so far we got a fine. Twitter sparring with the president.
Yep.
A foot fetish.
Apparently.
And yeah, I don't know. I'm just really into it. I also just want to note that Clay is donating money for every point he's donating $100.
So you're into Steph. Can we just do a quick review of trending topics for you?
Uh-oh. I don't know. Is it going to be embarrassing?
No. I want to know like who's kind of like caught your eye so far this
I'm
year.
I'm really into Ben Simmons. Like I really am.
Okay.
He's my favorite Sixer.
Thanks.
You're welcome. I love Clay. I like the Warriors being jerks. I'm shocked.
D'Angelo Russell?
I'm really into D'Angelo Russell. I'm shocked by Jaylen Brown's improvement.
Yeah.
That's, to me, the biggest surprise of the season. He's so much better. I just am shocked by it.
I mean, I'm not into this.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. No, it's okay. It's just, like, really tough for me.
It's true, though.
Yeah.
I've abandoned my interest in Kyrie because I'm like, oh, Jaylen Brown's good. That's so surprising. I was told he would be, and I didn't believe it. What else am I really into? Thanks for taking an interest in me, Chris.
Of course.
I'm really...
It feels like you're a little bit, like, you haven't quite centered in on the Nuggets.
Not quite.
Have you watched any Wolves?
I have watched the Wolves. I just want to say I'm really anti-Clippers. I'm rooting against them hardcore.
What?
I just don't. No, I just can't get behind them.
You don't like Gallo?
No.
Pat Bev?
I like Pat Bev. He's a good Clipper. But that's it.
Have you watched the Wolves?
I have watched the Wolves.
Tough watch.
Not fun.
Yeah.
They don't play with joy. I don't think Tibbs imbues his team with joy the way that Kerr does.
So I'm working on a pet theory that basketball emotionally has passed Tibbs and Van Gundy by.
Interesting. SVG.
Yeah. Because it's like, guys just don't want to get their balls broken every single minute of every single day. And maybe that's just like a superficial read of what it's like to play for those guys. But just like those dudes are perfectionists. They believe in like perfection through repetition. They believe that like their best players, well, Tibbs definitely believes that his best players should play the most minutes. And I don't know. It's just like, it was the Thunder game. They won. Wiggins had that crazy shot from a little past half court. But the gears are grinding over there.
Yeah.
You can see the seams.
Towns is going to leave. It's going to be sad for Minnesota.
There's going to be a big man like switch up because they'll have Towns, Boogie.
AD.
Well, AD's still got a couple more years.
And he's frail. Sorry. I watched Thunder Wolves in a bar on Sunday.
Great game.
Great game. I knew that was an illegal screen. Raymond, I was pissed about
Raymond Felton Renaissance.
Raymond Felton Renaissance. I love the Thunder.
The Raymond Sons.
I really want the Thunder to work.
We have that going for
us. I really, really do. I think Russ has transformed a little bit. People aren't giving him credit for it.
He tried taking over at the end of the game, like pretty hardcore. I was like, oh man.
I'm okay with that.
It was like Melo brought them back into the game and then Russ was like, I'm going to shoot every time down at the end of the game here.
Yeah.
And then Melo hit the three to win it. And then Wiggins hit the three to win it.
Yes. I'm okay with that, though. Like, don't you think that's what you have an MVP for?
I really like that team, like, top to bottom. Like, sure. I like watching Abrines. I like watching Ferguson. I like watching Steven Adams. So
Ferguson's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm impressed by him. I just really want them to work. I still think Paul George will be their leading scorer, but I don't really know where he fits in. Okay. Exactly.
Well, this is what we wanted from him, off the ball scoring defense.
It's true. It's true.
Of those guys are going to get more than 20 a night. There's not going to be an issue.
Right. I don't know. I just, for some reason, I just really, really root for them.
The one thing that's been nice about the NBA this year is I think when we did Ringer NBA Preview Palooza, we were like doing the Eastern Conference teams and like, we're like, oh man, there's going to be a lot of bad basketball.
But it's been fun.
Well, it turns out most of the teams are fine.
Yes.
Except for the Knicks.
The Knicks are a mess. And here are some quotes from yesterday. These are a courtesy of Al Iazone on Twitter.
Shout out to you, Al.
Courtney Lee said some players don't know the plays and they need to pay attention more in practice. After the loss to the Celtics, Tim Hardaway Jr. said, we're all out there just running like we don't know what's going on. And additionally, Kristaps Porzingis was very mad he didn't get more calls. I am very out on Kristaps Porzingis.
So I'm trying to figure out let's do a little serial season three here.
Okay.
Who is Courtney Lee talking about?
That's the sound of me Googling. Yeah. Who's Courtney Lee talking about?
Courtney Lee, Ron Baker. He's probably not talking about himself. So let's take Courtney Lee out of
okay.
it. Ron Baker.
No.
Seems like he would know what's going on, but actually low key, I thought he was pretty out of control against the Knicks.
Yeah.
So maybe Ron Baker doesn't know what's going
sure,
on.
Sure, perhaps. And he gets a lot of playing time, weirdly.
Timmy?
No.
Dougie McD?
Because he agrees.
I feel like McD's a coach's son. He probably knows the plays.
McBucket studies.
Kuzminskis? Does he play?
A little bit, yes, he does.
Ennis, maybe?
Ennis definitely doesn't know the plays.
Empty calorie 2020s?
Ennis Kanter doesn't know a single play from any team he's ever been on.
But yet gets 20 and 20 every night.
Yeah, I bet he's not well-liked.
Willie Hernan Gomez?
No, he doesn't get to play, which is bizarre.
So then who is he talking about? Michael Beasley? He's not playing? Like, I heard.
I don't know. This is a really rough collection of players, too. Don't forget Joakim Noah is still on this team as
well. I bet Joakim Noah has a fundamental understanding of basketball playbook. I just don't know who Courtney Lee is talking about here.
I don't know. Courtney Lee's definitely just really pissed. Let's get him out. I kind of like Courtney Lee. He was on our podcast
before.
What
if we just get Misfit Island, all the guys who were unhappy? So Courtney Lee, Eric Bledsoe.
Oh, interesting. Who else do you think is next to be like, I don't want to be here?
A big player or just like a role player?
Either one, man.
Elfrid Payton.
Mm. Yes.
I don't think he's like a disagreeable person.
Let's send him to Europe.
But it was like very obvious that the Magic were playing better with DJ Augustine and Evan Fournier than Elfrid.
I'm not sure he's compatible with the modern NBA, so I suggest we send him to Europe or perhaps China.
Elfrid?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's out.
I think that there will be
next superstar to complain.
Oh, man.
I'm gonna say Anthony Davis.
To complain? I mean,
he doesn't complain, but I think we'll start getting sources say Anthony Davis wants a trade.
Who else?
Because I don't know. I'm a little worried about Kyrie in Boston, that experiment.
Why?
He's already been fined for fighting with a fan in Philly. The narrative is that the Jasons are carrying them. Sorry, Jason and Jalen, the Jays.
I have to say, I thought that he had seemed very supportive yesterday during their game. Like he would like, there would be a couple plays. I saw like those guys playing really well and he seemed psyched for them.
Good. Okay. Great. I just don't know. I don't think he's playing
that well.
It would
not be a good look for Kyrie if you left LeBron and went to a team that was like a little bit above 500 and got eliminated in the second round of the playoffs. That would be a real step back. He went to the Celtics to unseat LeBron.
Sure.
So if Kyrie carries a team, even if it's heroic because he doesn't have enough support, like Kyrie wants that team to be as good as possible.
Yeah, absolutely.
And his usage rate, I'm sure, is like sky high. I haven't checked it, but it's like he dribbles a lot. He's involved in a lot of plays.
I'm sure he dribbles more than Coach Brad, President Brad would like. Mm. That's not really his style. I don't know. We're certainly headed for so much more drama. Like we said, it's been 8 days and like this is more storylines than we had through eight days last
year.
On
Bill's pod today, we were talking about like the Sixers trading Redick.
Mm. Who wants that contract? I guess it's only 1 year.
But for like, if you were the Bucks and you thought you could get to the Eastern Conference Finals, if you had a shooter, like maybe mm-hmm. you'd do something like that. I don't think here's my counterpoint.
Okay.
Not sure it's going to be player oriented.
Mm.
I'm curious whether there's going to be some team like ownership problems.
Like, well, certainly Memphis.
Memphis has the minority owners can make bids now or something. But like, I did not know that Robert Parra's personal wealth had increased quite a bit recently.
Even though his company is doing quite poorly.
And then, there's Kevin Arnovitz had a piece about the Bucks and it seems like the ownership groups there, it's like weird. Like you run it for 2 years and then I run it for 2 years. Is that like what's happening there?
It's strange.
So I think that there's a couple of teams like that. I think that the Sixers need to get out of this tailspin in terms of like their ability to manage the media and manage their own storylines. I think Hornacek loses job. So I think like there's a lot of teams that the drama could come off the court. But if I had to pick a player who's going to ask for a trade, I'm going to say Jimmy Butler.
Oh, Jimmy Buckets. I like it. Interesting. I was going to say, I feel that this Timberwolves situation is pretty inexorable. And unfortunately,
upper respiratory illness, 3 days and 3 games into the season. Is Minnesota that cold, Jimmy?
That's weird. It's weird. I agree with you. Where would you like to see him?
I don't know, but I think that this wasn't his choice, right? Mm-hmm. He didn't ask to be traded to Minnesota.
Yeah. We actually talked about this in the Palooza.
And Wiggins actually closed the game. Like mm-hmm. he was definitely the number one option against the Thunder. And I was just like, yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, because that was a play. That was obviously a play that it's like, you know, like a X number of seconds left play that they run.
Yeah.
And it was for Wiggins. During the Palooza, Butler was my choice for a superstar to be traded as well.
Okay.
I think the Minnesota situation is bad. I think they have a real ceiling and that Tibbs has a ceiling, like you said.
It's sad. I feel bad for Schuster and Haley.
I feel sad for them too. But like, I really want the best for Towns. He just seems like a great dude. So I want him to be free.
Let's end on a different kind of note. What are you looking forward to for the rest of the week? Any game, any player you're going to be watching, any storyline you want to see unfold?
I'm in on the Nets, man.
They were like,
give me some Brooklyn basketball.
We're not being weird. Like, this was actually like, they are fun. Yeah, LeVert, Rondé, and D'Angelo were like, it's just really exciting. They're all like kind of 6'4 to 6'7. They're dunking, they're shooting threes, they're running up and down the court.
When we were in Vegas, you were really taken by Quinn Snyder and his tan. When I was there, I was really taken by Sean Marks. I just saw him strutting around, taking phone calls. He just made a deal.
Yeah.
Like the day before. I think it was
the D'Angelo deal.
It was the D'Angelo Brooke Lopez deal. And he just looked like he had no cares in the world. He was in total control. He's very tall. He just was like living his life, looked so relaxed. Like, I believe in him. Like, he's a leader I could get behind. So I have faith.
Okay.
What about you? You need to pick me up coming off this fault situation.
The Thunder are a must see TV for me right now.
I agree.
I'm really excited to watch them, and I need the Sixers to just level out.
Cool. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with more drama
every other Wednesday
and gossip every other Wednesday. And on those days there's not so much to say, check out Jam Session on Channel 33.
Please.
It's a good celebrity gossip listen. So basically, Gossip Wednesdays.
Yeah.